As promised, Justin Osagen is with me, a regular on our station and a farmer who is, I believe, out picking blueberries this morning and interrupted his very presumably peaceful morning to be with us on the radio. Thanks, Justin, for coming.
Oh, I'm a pleasure to be here.
Yes. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. And let's just tell us a little bit about what it's like out there this morning. It was about 55 by the lake and, you know, not quite as sunny as it's been, kind of overcast. What is it like up the hill?
Oh, we've got the same weather here. It's overcast and cool and just a delight to be out working in the berries this morning.
Yes. And I know for many, it's been a really good blueberry season. Is that true for you? And if so, do you have reasons? Can you tell us why, or is it all mysterious?
You know, it is a fantastic year for berries. We started with strawberries and pulled in more berries than I ever imagined we could. The strawberries ended. We moved into blueberries and wow, is just a bumper. I don't know that there's an explanation for this. It's, you know, we are victims of whatever the gods sent to us, and they sent everything just as we needed it this year. We didn't get a late frost. We've had plenty of rain. The bees came out to pollinate. So, you know, all of those stars just aligned in the most perfect way for us this year.
Yeah. But, you know, what's good for the geese is not always good for the gander, right? Like, it's not the best year for everything. It's just the berries. Is that...
That's right. I'm having a fantastic fruit year.
Okay.
What I'm not having a fantastic year on is other garden produce. We had a really cold spring. Warm weather just did not want to descend on us here in northeastern Minnesota. Soil temperatures were low. The soil was just muddy and wet. And what that meant was that if you could get out there to get seeds in the ground, the soil just wasn't really warm enough for things to germinate. And a lot of our local farmers are really struggling this year with late crops, not as much of the bounty that they would normally expect in their harvest. So I've been fortunate that I've got the fruit and that's doing really well. My produce is middling to okay. But certainly not a bumper crop this year.
Interesting. Well, we'll all have to make lots of jam and freeze lots of fruit this winter and take what there is, as always.
So, yeah, speaking about making jam, my very kind neighbor, Julie, she taught me that if you buy your fruit in the summer, you pick it in the summer, and then you freeze it, you can then thaw that fruit out and you can make your jam when you're not up to your eyeballs and trying to harvest all of that fruit. This never occurred to me that you could just freeze it and make your jam in, you know, November or sometime when life slows down. So I have just been selling as much fruit as I can. If I bring any home from the market, I'll stick that in the freezer, and I've got an eye towards making blueberry syrup and making blueberry jam, come cool or weather, when I'm not busy outside.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Sometimes the most simple ideas are the most brilliant. And thanks to Julie for that wonderful tidbit. And I guess all you need is a big freezer to make that happen.
That's right. I tell you, we've got an upright freezer, which was the best decision we ever made. We used to have one of those chest freezers and things would get lost in the bottom. This one's like a refrigerator, but it is just packed full of fruit. And I have to add, some of the most delicious vegan fake meat that exists. And it's made by a guy named Shane who works for Superior Small Batch. He started that company. He makes a fantastic product.
Yes. Shane is actually a former board member of this radio station. And as you said, a great entrepreneur in his own right.
So, mm-hmm.
And I will also mention that we have a deep freeze that is not upright, and I have on one of my dreaded chores is to dive down there and try to figure out what the heck is down there and empty it out.
Cleaning out a chest freezer is just one of the worst jobs ever. You know, you'll find things, oh, that went in there 5 years ago and here it's all freezer burnt and covered with icy crust, and not a chore that anyone really relishes doing. So when we got that upright freezer, wow, was that ever a life changer for us?
And it minimizes your waste too, because then you actually eat everything before you have to, it gets gnarly on
it
you.
It sure does. You know, you just open the door, you can see what's in there, just like a refrigerator. And opening that door on a really hot day and having all that cold air wash over you, that's just another little treat.
So true. Well, Justin, you're in fine form this morning, and I want to quickly ask you about farmers markets. I know we've discussed the Two Harbors Farmers Market at length with many farmers, but there are a lot of farmers markets around here, and so I have just a few questions. I know they all have their own special flavor, their own special time of week, and one that you go to as well is a certain Duluth market. Do you want to just tell us which one you sell at and what it's like?
Sure. So my normal market for many years has been the Saturday Two Harbors Market, and I love that market. That's my first farmers market. I love the vendors. We get so many of the same friendly faces through each week. I got big enough this year that I decided to pick up another market, and so I conferred with my friend Josh, who makes kimchi, and he sells at a number of markets. He said, you know, there's a market called the Central Hillside Market, and it's on Tuesday afternoons. You'll like that market. So I joined that market this spring, and it's in a parking lot of St. Mary's Hospital that's on 3rd Street at 5th Avenue East, and it's just been such a fantastic venue to go to. I'm mixing with a whole new group of vendors. There's a little bit of overlap in the vendors between Two Harbors and Central Hillside, but there are many new faces there. So I'm getting to meet new people, try new products that those vendors are bringing to market. But moreover, I'm meeting a whole new group of customers. We get a lot of professionals who come out of the hospital on their breaks or at the end of their shifts, and they'll buy berries from me. We get a lot of locals who live right there in downtown Duluth who come through that market as well. And it's pretty astounding to me just how different the clientele is between Two Harbors and that market right there in downtown Duluth.
Yeah.
I've been pleased. So I sell at those two markets, but there are so many markets located nearby. Farmers markets are fun. It's a great way for community to buy from local producers. One of my favorite markets when I get the rare Saturday off in the summertime is to go up to Brimson. That Brimson market is just a magical little way to spend a Saturday morning. Finland has a market that's weeknights, and I think it's on Thursdays, but don't hold me to
that. It is. Yep.
But the Finland market is full of good people. It's a real community building event. You know, Finland's slightly isolated, but the community really comes together around that market. They do a number of community dinners, which I know about because they've bought a lot of produce from me for the food that they make, but really good people, both in Brimson and in Finland.
Yeah, it seems like we really are making headway toward this idea that food can once again be kind of a hub for community. And that, I mean, I love like you said, it's not just one type of person that goes to the farmer's market anymore. And to me, that is such good news because it means it's more mainstreaming. You know, it's more attracting people of all walks of life and from all different. And I love that there are markets in different parts. Like, if the more there are, the more places, the more accessible they are to people who live in all different parts of wherever.
So, you know, one perception that I think some people have of farmers markets is that prices are going to be a little bit higher. And in some ways they are. The foods that we bring to farmers markets are bespoke, right? They're small. We're small producers. We're doing almost everything by hand. Many of us are farming just as single people. So it can be very labor intensive. And part of what we do at the market is we want to pay ourselves for our labor. But because the prices can be slightly higher, doesn't preclude lower income people from shopping at those markets. Most markets have programs where people can use their EBT or SNAP dollars at those markets. There's typically a table at many markets where there's the market manager, and that manager can give someone who has SNAP or EBT benefits tokens off the EBT or SNAP program that they can then use for their purchases. The advent and the proliferation of that kind of program has really opened up farmers markets to a lot of our population that depends upon those programs for their food dollars.
Yeah, so important. And I would add, I think maybe 10 years ago it was guaranteed to be higher, but nowadays it's a little bit touch and go. Like, some things are expensive, but some things are actually cheaper. And especially when it's in high season and there's a bountiful amount of certain vegetable or something. So,
So tomorrow, I'll tell you, one of my projects today is to go pick what I think is going to be about 4 or 5 bushels of green beans. Once I pick those, they're good for a few days. So I've got to unload all of those tomorrow. And I'm probably going to sell at about $3 a pound. And that is competitive with what you're going to buy green beans for if you go to a big chain grocery store. And the green beans that I picked today are going to get sold tomorrow. They're going to be as fresh as can be. When you buy those green beans at a grocery store, they're likely shipped in from out of state, probably
weeks ago, I might add.
California.
Yep. Weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yes.
Weeks ago. So that food, it loses a little bit of nutritional value. It's just not as fresh and crunchy, and, you know, it doesn't delight the mouth in the same way that the very freshest stuff does.
Absolutely. I think you almost have to, taste food that was alive on the vine yesterday to really even understand the difference. And that takes going to the farmer's market to find that out. So good example, because the green beans in a store and the green beans at a market, like, they're not even the same vegetable. It's kind of like tomatoes. Like, you can't even compare. But anyway, we're totally out of time. Thank you, Justin, for being with us. And we'll have you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Katya.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm speaking with Justin Osagen. He is the farmer up in the Clover Valley area and a regular on the station.